Well, everyone, I want to welcome you to the first Sunday Night Business Builder call of the new year. And so many of you signed in saying Happy New Year. I want to say Happy New Year to each and every one of you. And, you know, it's up to each and every one of us individually to make it the best year that we've had to date. And there's a lot of reasons why we can come up with to not cause that to happen. But that's really kind of the subject of what I wanted to talk about tonight. And tonight's call is going to be pretty short. For those of you that were not on last week's call, Bear has retired as the host of the Sunday Night Business Builder call after about, a 12-year run. And literally, he missed maybe five or six calls that whole 12 years. And, you know, just wanted to be able to get on the call when he wants to, or listen to the recording when he wants to, which is, you know, topambitleaders.com. Click on training, click on Sunday Night Business Builder call. Hopefully you'll find it advantageous to encourage other people to listen to tonight's call. Tonight's the first in a four-week series I'm going to do on transformation versus goal setting, but you could say slash goal setting. You know, a lot of people like to set goals and you know, they're really just wishes and hopes and they really don't have a structure around, you know, what resides in the mind in setting those goals, or actually how to set a goal. So over the next 4 weeks, and of course the Sunday after simulcast, we'll do a recap of simulcast. Hope to have some of the executives from Ambit on the call that week. So for next couple of weeks, be the first 2 weeks, and we'll skip a week for simulcast. And then last two Sundays of January, we will finish the series up. But I'm going to spend 4 weeks, and we're going to talk a little bit, or not a little bit, but a lot, about like I said, transformation, goal setting. And I'm going to share from the bottom of my heart, quite openly, some of my challenges. And I want you to know that this comes from life experiences. You know, I didn't go to some book on goal setting and try to come up with a curriculum for this. It's based on years of observation and years of self-help training for myself, you know. I am a huge, huge, huge believer in investing the time and energy in yourself and the money to go and, you know, read books and, you know, subscribe to courses, you know, back before the pandemic, you know, go to weekends that are, you know, getaways. And you have to pick who those mentors are and what ones are best suited for you. But, you know, there's a lot of great people out there that can really help you come through some breakthroughs. But I want to tell you the one thing that did it for me, and I've been to a lot of different great seminars over the years, some, you know, a few hours long and some several days long. But the thing that really helped transform me in my life was a thing called the Landmark Form. And if you get online and read a lot about the Landmark Form, you'll read stuff that it came out of the old S training, and it's brainwashing, and it's this and it's that. And in my opinion, Landmark Education, which is the name of the organization, that couldn't be further from the truth. You know, it transformed me from somebody that was an overachiever into somebody that became a very focused and effective overachiever. And it helped me deal with some things that were blind to me. You know, we several years ago, myself and Pete Morgans back in our XL Telecommunications day, we did a recording called "It's Impossible to Know What You Do Not Know," and you know, came from an old Ronnie Kirkland training, and Ronnie used to talk about, back in the XL Telecommunications days and later in the Ambit Energy days before he passed. And Ronnie was a great mentor of mine. But, you know, Ronnie used to talk about so many different things. But one of the things he talked about was, you know, those blind spots, you know, the parts of our personality, the parts of who we are that, you know, are tucked away or that we don't even see. And so we came up with audio tape that Pete and I collaborated on. We came up with It's Impossible to Know What You Do Not Know. You know, there are things in your life that you know, right? You know how to spell. You know how to speak English, you know. And then there's things in your life that you know, but you really don't know. And then there's things in your life that you don't know, that you know that you don't know. You know, and so you start to go down that rabbit trail. There's these blinds, you know, people call them blind spots, or they may have been part of your memory of something you knew at one point, but you compartmentalize them into a place that you forget. And so I hope that you brought pen and paper. If you didn't, again, you can go to topambitleaders.com. And click on training and click on Sunday night call. It's usually posted up by Tuesday. And Norbert Hennessy does a great job. If you're on any of the Ambit sites, he posts and shares a recording of this call. And so if you didn't bring pen and paper, or maybe when you submit to taking notes, pen and paper, you don't learn as well. So for some people, it's better just to listen. For other people, it's better to take notes, et cetera, et cetera. But there'll be a lot of access to these 4 weeks of calls. And what I want to start with is that this is about you. It's not about your sponsor. It's not about Ambit Energy as a business. It's not about your spouse. It's not about your kids. It's not about anybody else but you. So if you take your two index fingers right now, and, you know, hopefully you got a speakerphone, but if not, you can visualize this. You take your two index fingers, like you're pointing to somebody with each hand, and place them on the temples of your head. And what goes on in between those two index fingers is what dictates your life. It's what drives your life. It's what controls your life. If you think about what a thought is something that occurs in the mind. You know, a thought's not something in outer space. You know, a thought is something that occurs in the mind. Now, maybe the thought's created by the written word. Maybe you're reading the Bible or reading a book or something, and it creates a thought. Maybe it's created from a smell. You know, you ever walked into somebody's house and, boy, this smells good. All of a sudden, you have the thought of being hungry. Or maybe it's created from touching something. You know, spend an hour one day with a blindfold on or with your eyes shut and pretend that you're blind. You know, the other senses come through, you know, the sense of feel and smell and hearing come through because the sense of sight is gone. So there's a lot of different things that stimulate a thought, okay? But a thought is created in the mind, okay? So again, those two index fingers on either temple, is that's what drives you. That's what controls you. And I've often said, and I'm not going to get off into an Ambit training tonight, but I've often said there's two sides to your Ambit business. There's the mechanical knowledge of how to build a sales and marketing organization. And, you know, I've done a good job over the last decade and a half, you know, training that and getting people that are better at it than I am, Ray Monty and a bunch of others. And then there's the mental side of the game. And if you think about Ambit Energy as a business, and I use it only as an example, is we each have the same policies and procedures. We each have a compensation plan. We each have the same videos. We each have the same service provider. We each have the same rates. So if the mechanical pieces of that puzzle are the same, why is it that you have multimillion-dollar earners in Ambit? And then you have just a bunch of people that joined Ambit Energy, paid the fee to get in, maybe a month or two of their websites, never did anything, didn't get anything. And it was from a business perspective, it was a losing proposition. They not only lost their money, but they also lost their time, energy, and effort, which is pretty minimal that they put into the business. So there's two sides to our business, the mechanical side of the business, and then the mental side of the business. But if you think of what takes a person out of the business, it's not the mechanical side of the business. It's some thought occurred. The rates aren't good. The you know, such and such was mean to me at the meeting, or, you know, this other opportunity over here, you know, selling, you know, some feel-good juice is better than Ambit Energy. Whatever it is, there's some sort of thought that was stimulated by one of the senses that came into somebody's mind that they used as the reason why they left the business, okay? So the mechanical part of the business is not what takes you out of the business. It's the mental part of the business that takes you out of the business. So with that said, let me tell you that what I want to talk about with regards to thought. So we're going to focus on thought. We're going to focus on the mind. We're going to focus on the mental part of what it is we want to accomplish in 2021. You know, a lot of people talk about setting goals, and goals are not a bad thing by any stretch of the imagination. They're wonderful. But they set goals in such a way that they're not structured. They don't have specifics. They don't have a time attached to them. A lot of time they're unreasonable. And a lot of leaders on the call, we have several on the call, or by recognition of names and the people that were kind enough to check in on the call. But, you know, and I'll pick one for example, Norbert Hennessy. Norbert's been in the business from almost day one. Joined in 07, October of 07, if my memory serves me right. He's been in the business forever. And how many times has Norbert or myself or any of the other people that have been in the business for any period of time started hearing somewhere in the late spring or summer or throughout the summer, I'm going to be EC by ambition. I have a goal. I'm going to be EC by ambition. And that goal was driven by the fact that they wanted to be recognized at ambition. You know, they wanted to go on the EC parade, as we call it, okay? And they wanted to have the EC pin for ambition. They were close, and they wanted to do it. But that's it. That's what they say to you. I'm going to be EC by ambition. Well, if you ask the question, well, how do you plan on doing that? There's no plan behind it. Okay, there's not, I'm going to do so many business presentations a day, you know, or per week. And from those business presentations, I'm going to do X number of three-way calls. You know, there's no quantifying of what it is you're going to do to achieve that. Or in most cases, there's not even an analysis of what needs to happen to achieve that. It's just like, it's a hope, it's a dream, it's a what I want to do. You know, I won't mention any names, but I can think of three people in particular that for years after they made senior consultant, every single year for years, okay, in one instance it was 9 years, okay, another instance it was 7 years, I think the other one was 4 or 5 years, I'm going to be EC by ambition. These are people that I personally work with in Ambit. I'm going to be EC by ambition. Well, I didn't quite get there, you know, because I thought such and such was a runner, da, 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 da. But, you know, at ambition, they're telling you, but I'm going to be EC by next ambition for sure. In fact, I might even be EC by simulcast. No plan. Simulcast comes. Well, I'm going to be EC by ambition. No plan. Ambition comes. I'm going to be EC by next ambition. Next ambition comes. No plan. I'm going to be EC by the next ambition. You hear it over and over and over again. So I want to relate that. I think that's relational to all of us because what we have in commonality is the Ambit business. But I want to relate that to you. So I want you thinking about you, okay? How many times have you had a New Year's resolution? And some of the more popular ones are weight loss or exercise. You know, I'm going to lose... You know, this year I'm going to lose 30 pounds or I'm going to go join the gym. I mean, I don't know if you notice on television, but on television pre-pandemic, and I haven't seen it as much this year, but pre-pandemic, you see Gold's Gym and LA Fitness and this one and that one just massively doing television ads. Why? Because they know people make New Year's resolutions and set goals for the year. And one of those major goals is exercise and weight loss. And so they capitalize on that. You see equipment being advertised all the time. I can't tell you how many Peloton commercials I've seen over the last 2 or 3 weeks. There's a reason for that, folks. They know when to invest their marketing dollars because when somebody's going to spend over $1,000 on a Peloton and they're going to spend $50 a month for the access to the computer program that goes along with it, that's an emotional buy. That's a stretch for a lot of people, and they're most emotional about losing weight this time of year. So that's why the ads come this time of year. So I want you to think about your goals, and some of you have already thought about a few things, and not just your, in fact, I'm going to tell you, put aside your ambit goals for right now. Okay, let's just put that aside. You know, for you in your life, what are your goals? You know, are you looking for a new relationship? Are you looking to move out of where you live now into a nicer place? Are you looking for a different mode of transportation? Are you looking for a new job? Are you looking for a promotion within the job? Are you looking for more money? Whatever those aspirations are, in some cases they may actually be needs, but they're hopes and dreams and wants. Okay, one of the things I've always tried to teach my children, I don't know how successful I've been at it, to be honest, but anybody that's a parent on this call understands that statement. But there's a difference between what you need and what you want. You know, you need food to sustain your life, okay? What you may want is bluefin sushi, but you don't need bluefin sushi. That's just what you want, okay? You know, what you need is you need food to sustain your body and to give you nutrition, okay? So there's always a difference between what you want and what you need. You know, kids at Christmas time, oh, Mama, I want this, I want that, I want the other thing. 100% of what they want for Christmas, there's 100% zero need for it. It's all a want, you know? And so from an early age, what we do is we fulfill the wants of our children. And what happens is that they don't understand or able to distinguish the difference between a want and a need, okay? So when you're setting your goals, it's what is it that you need more than what is it that you want? You know, what is it that you need more than what is it that you want? Well, you know, outside of air, you know, clean air, we've got to have air, we've got to have water, and we've got to have food. You know, we need some sort of shelter, you know, outside of our needs as human beings. You know, we need, part of that shelter is we need clothing to protect us against the elements and, you know, so on and so forth. You know, basically in today's society in the United States of America, you need some mode of transportation. That might be a public bus or a train or a subway or something like that. But for most people, there's an absolute need to be able to get from point A to point B, so that results in a need for a car. If you have a car, you have a need for insurance. You know, if you have a need for insurance, you've got a need for money to pay for all that. And you have things that you need to achieve what it is you want to achieve in life. But what people focus on is the want, not the need. Okay, so, you know, and if there's anybody guilty of this, it's me. You know, I want the nice leather couch, any of y'all couch. Any of y'all ever been to my ranches? I want the antiques. I want the really fine things. You know, I don't need a leather couch that costs $3,000 or $5,000. You know, it would be perfectly fine for me to have a couple of chairs so that I could sit down and get off of my feet that were wooden chairs that cost $39 a piece. Okay. So you say, well, that's a little extreme, you know, kind of wear your rear end out, Brian. It's extreme, but I want to try to, again, make the point that what happens is that We get into a world in the United States and in a world-class country that we live in that a want becomes a need, and it's not a need, it's a want. And so one of the things that I encourage you to do is to establish, you know, the difference between what you actually need and what you actually want. Now, does that mean that if you want a nice sofa that you can't ever have a nice sofa? Not saying that at all, folks, not at all, okay? What I'm saying is you need to mentally, between the two index fingers, those thoughts, you need to distinguish between what you want and what you need. That's all I'm saying. okay? Because in there lies power, okay? In there lies power. Now, let me talk about that, the distinguishing, and earlier in the call I was talking about blind spots that we have. If you want to transform your life, in other words, if you want to just, instead of just wandering around and trying to decide what to do, and the landmark education called the Forum, Landmark Forum, you know, intensive three-day program where you went into a landmark center or into a hotel room, very, very structured, had to show up at this time, leave at this time, very structured breaks, et cetera, and they take you through a three-day exercise that basically transforms the way that you think. And there's a certain language within Landmark, and I'm not going to get into that in this call, but one of the sayings, and I'll say it slowly, is your always already way of thinking. So let's take it one word at a time. Always. That means always. That means 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days out of the year. You're already, always, already. In other words, that's the way you are. That's the way that you are today. You know, you're always already way of thinking, okay? And the thinking goes to the thoughts. So you have an always already way, okay? So think just three different words, always. That's forever, 24/7, 365. Already, that's who you are in the present, okay? Way of thinking. Now, I'm going to just give you a real common example. A lot of people want the goal of losing weight. Okay, and the goal of losing weight, it's very, very simple. Increase your exercise, which burns off calories, and reduce your caloric intake. That's the bottom line. Do it healthy, you know, in a healthy way. Reduce your caloric intake, okay? So whether you go to Nutrisystems or Jenny Craig or Weight Watchers or Noom or any weight loss system, what they're going to do is they're going to reduce your portion size, they're going to change what it is you eat, and they're going to reduce your caloric intake, okay? And then they're going to encourage you to safely and slowly increase your movement, your exercise, whether that means walking to the corner and back. If you're somebody like myself who, you know, is pretty immobile and's got bad knees and, you know, whatever, maybe it's getting on a stationary bike for a minute, not a Peloton that you get on for 30 minutes and go through some rigorous program. You know, different strokes for different folks, but the bottom line to it is that they're going to encourage you to reduce your caloric intake, and they're going to give you a program for that, okay? And as long as you stick to that program, it's going to reduce your caloric intake. And then the second thing they're going to do is get you to increase your exercise, which is going to burn off your fat and is going to blend with that caloric reduction, and voila, you're going to lose weight. It's real, real, real simple. You know, just a little aside, I told you I'd tell you some side stories on myself. When the pandemic hit, you know, Betsy's got some upper respiratory issues. You know, last thing I want to do is get the virus. You know, everybody's trying to figure out what to do, mask, no mask, you know, all these different signals. They're trying to figure out, come up with different ways of treatment. And then also, you know, eventually the development of the vaccine, and we all know the story, but the bottom line is that the coronavirus cases of today are, I think, at the all-time highest they've ever been. And people could say, well, that's because increased testing, and I digress. I don't want to get onto the coronavirus to tell you this story, that what I did, or what Betsy and I chose to do, is just stay at home. You know, we had groceries delivered to our front door. We, you know, we went out on occasion, you know, we go sit in the backyard just to get outside. But, you know, we go to a grocery store occasionally, you know, gas station, wiping down the handle on the pumps, you know, using all the sanitizer, the masks, the whole nine yards. And what happened during that period is the way that I dealt with that change is I just started eating, you know, and I gained probably 15 pounds. You know, I don't know exactly, 15, 17, maybe 20 pounds, probably at the most. And I said, you know, you've got reduced activity, you've got reduced things you can do here. You're just sitting around doing nothing. What is it that you want to do that's productive? And the first thing I decided I wanted to do is I wanted to lose weight. So over the last 5 months or so, I've been very slowly reducing my caloric intake, trying to increase my exercise. And, you know, as of my weigh-in yesterday morning, I'm right under 40 pounds that I've lost. You know, hooray for Brian, clap everybody. Hey, that's great. You know, I've got a lot more to go. But I knew it was simple, you know, and I started to focus on what I wanted. You know, yeah, I wanted the Fritos, and yeah, I wanted the this and the that and other stuff that has high calories and high fat and, you know, carbohydrates and sugars and those things that aren't as good for you. And I got on a simple app. It's called MyFitnessPal, a simple app, and started, you know, put in all your information. It tells you how, you know, how many pounds you want to lose per week. And I put in 2.5, and it gave me my calories and my fat grams and my sugar grams and my carbohydrates. And so I track all that, and I enter food in every day. And my biggest issue is fat grams. You know, they don't seem to give me enough fat grams for what it is I want to eat. So I go over on the fat grams. I'm always good on the sugar and the carbohydrates. But the point is that the pandemic caused me to eat, and then I made the decision that I was going to lose some weight. Okay. I also made the decision that I was going to work on some self-help. I was going to look at a bunch of different things. You know, I spent a lot of time understanding how the internet can be used in the recruiting process, and went through an educational process with a lot of the great leaders in Ambit Energy that do Zoom. I didn't know how to do Zoom. You know, I got on Zoom. I got my account set up. I can host a lot of people on a Zoom call now. You know, I started to learn the evolution of the next way of recruiting, or at least the way recruiting is going to be. And if you've been on any of the previous calls, you know, what I can tell you is that enrollment of new people in Ambit Energy will never go back to the way it was. Will we do hotel meetings at some point? Yes. Will we do big trainings again at some point? Yes. But those are never going to be the same as they were before, and they're not going to be done with the same frequency, and they're not going to be done with the same intensity. Because if I can sit on my computer and come up with a way to recruit somebody across town, you know, why do I want to drive across town and get eyeball to eyeball when I can have the same efficiency recruiting somebody over the computer, get them into the business, get them rolling and rocking and rolling, and see that they're going to be productive, and then invest more time to get to know them and build the business the traditional way. So the way we build our business is forever changed. You know, I mean, it's certainly temporarily changed now, but it's forever changed. Trust me on that. So pandemic hits, I start to think about some things. I go back to my Landmark Forum training, which you can get online, type in Landmark Forum, and I don't know if they're doing them virtually now. When I did it, it was, you know, classroom style. I don't, you know, maybe they're social distancing in certain places and restricting the class size. I'm not really sure. But what I learned from Landmark Forum, and I say all that to say this is your biggest takeaway for the call tonight, is you have three areas of your life. You have your past, okay, and that's literally everything from this second backwards, okay? And the one thing that is absolute is that you can't change the past. I'm not aware of anybody that has some time machine that's able to dial back 10 years in their life and change the past. Okay, so you have the past part of your life, okay? You have the present part of your life, okay? And the present is you're on a Sunday night Ambit Business Builder call. That's the present part of your life, okay? It's the now. It's not what's going to happen when you get off the call. That's the future, okay? So you have the present. You know, you inhale a breath, that's present, okay? You're 4 or 5 breaths from now, that's the future. And then, of course, the third category is the future. So what happens in what people consider goal setting, okay, is they're they're living into the future. What they want is they want something to change from the present state to where they are, whether it be weight, finances, job, you know, relationships, whatever it is, but whatever their present state is, whatever you're presently feeling towards that particular thing you want to change. And you want to change it at some point in the future because you can't change the past. Okay? Now, this, what I'm getting ready to tell you, is worth $1 million. So if you got kids running around, you got the television on, you kind of float in and out of this call, listen to what I'm getting ready to tell you. Are you ready? What I'm getting ready to tell you is this, is you cannot change the future, okay, until you understand and deal with the past. Let me explain that to you. We have experiences in life, okay? So, for example, if somebody told you, let's say your parents say, you were brought up in an environment of, you know, and I'll use myself because this was the environment I was brought up in. You know, my dad always worked very, very hard, sometimes two jobs. You know, he was a salesman, and then he'd go and sell life insurance in the evening and pick up a few extra bucks. But there was always more month at the end of the money, you know. And my parents argued and argued and argued excessively over finances. You know, my mom wanted to do this with money. My dad wanted to do that with the money. And there was never enough money to do both. And in most instances, there wasn't enough money to hardly do one or the other. So certainly they were in agreement on paying the mortgage or paying the car payment or, you know, those sorts of things. But when it came to the little bit of extra money they had, they were constant conflict with one another. Okay? So I grew up with rich people are greedy. Rich people are not nice people because they got their money by, you know, doing something that, not illegal, but something that, you know, we would never do. And what that was a rationalization, particularly on the part of my father, who was a great man, he's the best man at my wedding, loved my dad, okay? But it was a rationalization of my dad as why we weren't there. In other words, if in his mind, and I believe he truly believed it, that all rich people are greedy, all rich people are not good people, no, rich people don't do for others, they only do for themselves, all those sorts of thoughts, you know, then what happens is that's implanted to me at a very early age, okay? So the probability is that I'm going to grow up with that same set of thoughts. You know, just look at political, you know, most instances, not always, okay, but most instances, children grow up to be what their parents are. If you're a Democrat, you know, really, really liberal Democrat, your child's probably going to grow up as a liberal Democrat. And if you're uber conservative, they're probably going to grow up conservative. Doesn't happen that way 100% of the time. They can go off to college and get their own thoughts or marry somebody who has, you know, more influence or, you know, whatever, and that can change. But at least early on, they're kind of in the same ballpark. And then they go through some sort of change, or what I'd like to call transformation, and they let go of the past, and they look and start to make decisions for themselves. So what happens is that your past weighs you down. Think about your eating habits. You know, I grew up with you know, certain meals. You know, one of those meals was fried catfish and fried chicken. Boy, I loved it when my mom cooked that fried catfish and that fried chicken. And we grew okra in our backyard in Houston, Texas, where I lived until I was 10 years old. My mom would have us go out and pick that okra just at the right time before it got too big and tough. We'd bring it in, she'd chop it up, she'd bread it up and fry it in that Crisco oil. Man, every day we had fried okra, I loved it. Well, that developed my eating habit, you know. And for dessert, we had ice cream. To this day, I love ice cream. Here in Texas, it's Bluebell ice cream. You know, there's been time in my life when it was go to Baskin-Robbins, you know, three or four times a week, you know. So McKenzie's had cherry vanilla ice cream as a bakery chain in New Orleans where I grew up, moved there when I was 10, moved away when I was 40. used to go get a pint of McKenzie's cherry ice cream. Oh man, my mouth's watering just talking about it. But that all came from my past. That came from my mother bringing and doing ice cream all the time. You know, if you ate a bunch of fish growing up, you probably, you know, liked fish. And if you didn't have any fish growing up, you probably don't like fish. You know, why do people in South Louisiana eat a lot of fish and shellfish? Because that's what their parents ate and it's readily available. Why do people in Iowa and Nebraska eat a lot of beef? Because that's what's available, and a lot of pork because that's kind of what's available. So what happens is your past rules your present, and your present does not allow you to move into the future because you have the chains of the past holding you back. You're always already way of thinking. You know, another, and again, it all comes from thought. You could say, well, what about your always already way of doing? Well, that's true, but doing comes from a thought. So you have to have a thought of, I want catfish today. I want pizza today. You know, whatever that thought is, and then you take that thought, and then you go and do. So the thought always comes first before the do part, okay? So what we're talking about is thoughts here. You know, if you thought it was bad to be rich, then you probably aren't ever going to be rich because you don't want to be greedy and you don't want to be bad because that's what was instilled in you in your past, you know? So what I want to get across on this call, and the most important part of this call, we've gone a long way around to get to this point, is you have to look back in your past. You know, if you've got a sour relationship someplace in your past, then the probability is that sour relationship has brought itself through to a sour relationship you have with somebody. You know, I'm not saying that everybody's a child abuser becomes a child abuser. It can be just the opposite. But what I'm saying is that if that dark area, that blind spot, if you will, is there, you've got to do a lot of work to pull that blind spot out and to confront it. Because until you can release your past, and write this down, until I can release my past, I cannot live into the future. Now, you can have a temporary mindset change and just say, man, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I got to have knee surgery, and I got to lose 50 pounds before knee surgery. And you can have a temporary change in the way you eat and the way you exercise and what you have to do, and you can hit that 50 pounds. You can go have that knee surgery, and I'll bet you that within several months or within a year or two, you're going to be right back to the way you were before because no transformation occurred. What happened was there was a temporary change. So what happens in setting goals in a lot of instances is it's a goal that's not quantitative, okay? It's not specific, okay? And it's a want or a dream. There's no plan behind it whatsoever. And it's restrained by the constraints of your past. And until you go through the transformation and transform yourself into somebody that you aren't today, you can't live into the future. In other words, you've got to release all the constraints of the past. Maybe there was child abuse. Maybe there's bad parents. Maybe it was sibling rivalry. Maybe, you know, how many times you said to yourself, at your job, for example, man, this company's so screwed up because they got stupid people like my boss working for me. They just let me be in charge of that. You know, I can straighten all this out, blah, 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 blah. You know, if Ambit would just do this with the rates, you know, da, 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 Ambit this, Ambit that, sponsor this, sponsor that. You know, you've got to look in the mirror. You know, you've heard, you know, a lot of you been around for a while have got my business card. It's a little mirror. And when I hand it to somebody, I open it up to expose the mirror part of it. The flap that covers the mirror has my business card printed on it. And I say, you know, if you want to see the reason for your success or lack of success, here it is. And I hold the mirror up so they're looking at themselves in the mirror. And if you want me to help you be successful, give me a call. And I put the flap back down and I hand them my card. You know, you can go and look in the mirror And if you're honest of what you see in the mirror, you're probably not real happy with what you see in the mirror. You know, there's grief, there's financial stress, there's this, there's that. And what one typically does is always blame somebody else. You know, did your child, that when they failed their first test, come home from school and say, "Mom, I wanted to let you know I failed the test today. It's 100% my fault. I take full responsibility for it, and the corrective action I'm going to take is A, B, C, and D, and I promise you I'll never fail a test again." Now they come home and say, "Well, I failed the test because she didn't tell us it was on the whole book. I thought it was just on a chapter. I failed the test because, you know, I asked Johnny about it. Johnny told me to study this, and the whole test was on that." You know, it's never look in the mirror and take responsibility for oneself. And so what happens is that behavior pattern resides in the past. There's something in the past that says it's okay for you to have that behavior pattern. There's something in the past that allows you to blame everybody else. You know, your dad coming home from work saying, "You know, God, you know, I'm so disgusted with work. You know, if my boss, John, you know, he's so stupid, da 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 da." Well, guess what? You were programmed for when you have a job to think your boss, Mary, or your boss, Joe, or whoever the name of your boss is stupid because your dad's boss was stupid. And there's something drilled into your brain that bosses are stupid. You know, that corporations are bad, that, you know, the other view of somebody else's political view is wrong. Might be wrong. Might not be wrong. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever take the time to peel back the layers of the onion and look at what's inside of you? So as we go into beginning a transformation in ourselves, and my point is that transformation is necessary for you to be highly effective in achieving that transformational goal that you set for yourself, okay? You don't want to go into this new year saying, "I'm going to be EC by ambition." You know, we want to put some meat on the bones, okay? And the way you put meat on the bones is this. Is you create a mission statement for yourself. Okay, this isn't a mission statement about work. This isn't a mission statement about whatever. It's a mission statement that's based in character. You know, who is it that you want to be? Okay, what is it that you want to represent in life? You know, what sort of transformation is it that you want? It's not a bunch of goals. Well, I want to lose weight. I want this. I want that. I want whatever. I'm not going to try to coach you over several weeks on how to create a mission statement. I don't know how to do that effectively on a phone call. But what I would encourage you to do is I would encourage you to go into Google and say personal mission statement and start doing the hard work. Find a template. Find some mentors that could mentor you through how to form a mission statement for oneself. Now, when I used to do my Millionaire Weekend, Yellow Jacket Mentoring Weekends, we would start with the creation of a mission statement, and we would go through exercises, and people would get up to the mic on the stage, and they would read their mission statement, and I would coach them through that what was wrong with the mission statement. They'd go back, and they would work on it, and it was an exercise. Spent about a half a day on it. You know, and most people, not all people, but most people walked away with something that was close to a mission statement. You know, I can't do that on this call. But what I can tell you is that you want to create a mission statement. And there's a lot of good resources out there to create a mission statement. You know, Stephen Covey has great resources on creating a mission statement. A lot of mentors out there that, you know, have actual workbooks and steps to take you through creating a mission statement. And if somebody cares to send me their existing mission statement or the creation of a new mission statement, and this isn't something that you're going to be able to do by the end of the night unless you already have one, but, you know, a week from now, a month from now, 2 months from now, and I'm not going to bring this up week over week. You know, if you don't send me a mission statement, it's no skin off of my back. You know, it's less time I've got to spend helping you do something, okay? But I'm going to make you this offer. If you send me a mission statement, I'll comment back to you. You know, I'm not going to coach you on change this, do this. I'm not going to rewrite your mission statement or anything like that. I'm going to say it's too broad or it's this or it's that. I'm going to just give you some general impressions and directions, direction towards your mission statement. You know, it's who you want to be in your life. You know, what is it when it's all said and done? And who you want to be is not somebody making more money, okay? Making more money may get you to being who you want to be. But what is your mission in life? What is it that's in your heart, not in your mind? You know, in your mind, you know, you've got ego and you've got greed and you've got a lot of things. You know, what you have in your heart is love, okay? It's that beat. It's who you are. It's without that beat that you wouldn't be who you are or who you want to be. Most people are not who they want, you know, in their current state are not who they want to be. They have a desire to change into something, and that takes transformation. I hope this is making sense to you, but what I can tell you is that you need to have a mission statement, okay? And your mission statement is going to be the one thing that as you set goals, you're going to go back to as a guiding light. Now, with that said, sometimes a mission statement, you know, can take a while to produce. So you need to start thinking about what is it you want to accomplish in 2021. And what we're going to do on next week's call is we're going to put some structure around it, okay? What is the structural elements needed for a good goal? Now, what is it that I need to structurally come up with, you know? A time frame is one. Specifics is one. Reasonability is one, you know? You know, don't come up with a goal that says, I want to be a billionaire by the end of 2021. That's, you know, unreasonable, number one, in so many different ways. You know, and you've got to have some structure of how you're gonna get there. You know, what is it you're gonna do in small, tiny steps, and then, you know, to be able to achieve that goal. So we're gonna put some meat on those bones of, you know, what is it that I want to do? And I want you to think about maybe three areas of your life. You know, I think you start getting into four, five, six, seven. What happens is you get so diluted. You know, what are the top three? And then take the top three areas that you want to transform in 2021 and rank them. Okay, so number one is health. You know, or maybe number one, maybe you have really good health. I see somebody on Instagram, you know, you look like the Incredible Hulks and you're in the gym all the time and all that, and you're eating properly, you're exercising properly. So maybe for you, health's not number one. Maybe wealth is number one. Maybe spiritual side. Maybe relationships is number one. But come up with three goals and then rank them number one, number two, number three. Okay, and bring them to next week's call. I'm not going to ask you to send them to me. They're your goals. If it is to be, it's up to me. This is working on you personally. It's not working on me. It's not working with anybody. This is self-reflective time that you should have over the next several days and come up with three areas of your life of what you'd like to do, and then start to put some structure around that. You know, and what I can tell you is when it comes to ambit energy, being EC by ambition is not a goal. That's a want and a dream. You know, that's something that you want. It's a dream. It's a hope. It's not a goal. You know, becoming EC by ambition by doing X number of presentations with X number of three-way calls with X number of new consultants, with X number of those consultants getting their customers within the first 48 hours, you know, you know, putting X number of people on a written list, you know, that starts to put some structure around it when you put time intervals involved in that, whether it's weight loss, relationships, you know, spiritual part of your life, whatever. Come up with three goals, and then just do the best you can do to put some structure around that, and bring them to the call next week. Okay? This is what I can tell you in recap, is that it's not about goals and wants and hopes and dreams. It's about transforming your life. And you live in the present. You live in what you're going to do. You're going to hang up from this call and you're going to go do something. Don't know what it is. Watch television, say goodnight to the kids, go clean the house. Don't know what it is. But that's a choice. Okay? And that choice is something you get to make. You know, I'm going to hang up from the call and go in the other room and watch a little television with Betsy. Nothing wrong with that. But I can make the choice to hang up from this call and pick up a John Maxwell book and read two chapters. You know, what is it that you're going to do on a day-to-day basis that's going to advance you from where you are to where you want to be? And what I can tell you is what's going to hold you back from that transformation resides in your past. So if you think it was bad to be wealthy, it's going to be tough for you to get wealthy until all of a sudden you think there's nothing wrong with being wealthy. And I can tell you there's nothing wrong with being wealthy in my world, but that doesn't mean that's so in your world. You know, I know that we donate tens of thousands of dollars a year to some incredible organizations that do incredibly good work for an incredible number of people that are in need and a point in their life that they need. So the fact that I make a lot of money and do something like that with it, that doesn't make me bad. You know, I hope that makes me a better person. But you know what? Don't really care what you think or anybody else thinks about me and my money and what I do with my money. As long as I'm okay with it, what I've done is I've gone back into the past. I let go of some really dark things in my childhood. I'm not talking about child abuse or anything like that, but you know that could reside in your childhood. But some things in my childhood that were holding me back, I did that through the landmark form. I released them. I work on it all the time. I live in the present. I know what my decisions are, and my decisions are based more on needs versus wants. The distinguishing between wants and needs is important, and I make sure that the needs are obtained, and when the needs are obtained, then you can fulfill some of the wants. And the only way you can transform into that from your always already way of thinking, which is where we are today, is to go back into the past and let some of those things go. I'll give you one quick exercise that the Landmark Forum did. You know, they ask you at one point in the forum to go and talk to your parent, you know, or parents, and just let it all out. You know, mom and dad, you know, I love you, but, you know, when I was young, this happened and that happened, whatever. Well, that's a challenge for somebody whose parents are both past, like myself. And so one of the things they say is they say, put an empty chair in front of you and talk to your parent. You know, your parent there is there spiritually. You know, talk to the parent. Let all of that venom, all of that stuff that's pent up, that's caused by parents, do it with siblings, do it with coworkers. Maybe there's a person in your past that you did wrong. You know? That's something that's eating away at you. You've got to let go of all that. The way you let go of that is go and tell them, I did you wrong. I'm sorry. I can't change it. I feel horrible about it. I love you. And, you know, I want to put this behind me and you, and I'm here for you. Now, what I'm saying is that what's holding you back, the chains that are holding you back are in your past. It's impossible for something to hold you back that doesn't exist. That's your future. Okay, so you can't be held back from the future. It doesn't exist yet. You can't be held back from the present because the present is your breath, is your this second, the next 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 second. That's your present. So the only place you can be held back from where you want to be is in your past. And so, again, difference between need and wants. Dealing with your past and what's holding you back, your always already way of being, as Landmark Forum would call it. And when you get to a point where you can release enough of your past to get very present in the present, then what can happen is you can move into the future and your life will change forever. So I hope it's been helpful. I hope that tonight's call is something that you'll listen to maybe two or three or four times. Norbert will send out the recording. I hope you'll encourage other people to listen to it. Give you a little bit of an insight, just kind of a peek, okay? We're not going to transform anybody listening to tonight's call, but it gives you some insight, gives you some things to think about. I'm going to ask you to go and look on the internet for personal mission statements and how to develop a personal mission statement and start to work on that. And I'm going to ask you to come up with three goals, okay, getting as specific as possible and bring them to the call next week. And we're going to talk about structuring around those three goals. And each week we're going to build on the previous week, and hopefully at the end of the 4 weeks, you'll be at a place that will at least be better than you were when the 4 weeks started. And with that, I'm going to have to look at my notes that Bear sent me on how to open the call back up. Let's see. I got to stop the recording first. Hold on, folks. Bear with me.